reading to you from 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and the 27th verse. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Lisa Moe, energy normal, converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, friends, I've sure been trying. I'm working real hard getting these tapes out, and we're going to help produce a film out in Oregon called The Animal. I want everybody in the world to see that. I knew the man before he passed away. What a story. He was a Hell's Angels. He killed people. He raped people. He stole. He did drugs. He died at a young age. But before he died, Christ saved him and made a man out of him. Oh, it's a tremendous story. Well, listen, hey, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for it. But let me tell you what, if you've got a troubled heart tonight, won't you listen? I think this will be good for you. If you have our Bibles with you, turn with me to the third chapter of Acts. Let's begin reading with the first verse. Now Peter and John went up together under the temple to the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms? And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood, and walked and entered them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising the God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame a man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto him in the porch and said, called Solomon's Great, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look it so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man walk? We've labeled this tonight a miracle with a message. And so note the first miracle after Pentecost. And we turn to first chapter of Acts in the 4th and 8th verse. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Well, they tell us that there was a great revival beginning at Pentecost. Read the second chapter of Acts. It's absolutely beautiful. Well, the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, Acts 2:1-4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared in them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, the apostle witnessed in a language understood by all. And now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now, Pentecostals don't exactly go along with that. And there's only one Pentecost, friends, but a lot of our religions say there's more than one. They can have Pentecost every Sunday. Ain't going to happen, not according to my Bible. Well, the Bible tells us in the 41st verse, "And they that gladly received his word was baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Is this the Peter that denied the Lord at the fire around those people when Jesus was crucified? Is this the guy? Why, Peter, you're an old, dumb, unlearned fisherman. How could you be preaching and so many thousand people saved? Because he was God's anointed man. Friends, you know, I've been watching on TV these guys that are selling anointed oil and anointed blankets and hankies and all that. Who do you think anoints him? If anybody gets anointed, it comes from God, not from man. I can do everything I can, but I can't anoint you. Anointing comes from God. Well, it was more than just a miracle. The healing of the lame man was a miracle with a message. Now notice how the miracle and message coincided. What is the message of miracle? Well, the Bible said two went in the temple to pray. Okay. And it says here, verse 1, "Now Peter and John went up together unto the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." Okay. Now, the veil had been torn in two, and I read in Matthew 27:51. My stars, I got to get back here to Matthew 50. Excuse me just a second. I usually write these things down so I don't have to do this, but you understand I'm not perfect, don't you? Okay. All right, let's look at Matthew 27:51. All right, 27:51, and it says, "And beheld, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent." The wonders of this wonderful God. Listen, friends, God doesn't do anything by accident. Everything that happens to you and I is according to his divine will, or he wouldn't allow it to happen. All can come into the Holy of Holies through faith in Christ now. Peter and John came to pray at the ninth hour. It was a traditional hour of prayer at the temple. Now, it was a time when the evening sacrifices were made. It was a time to announce Christ's sacrifice to pay our sins. Prayer makes miracles possible and our message powerful. And we read in verse 2 and 3, "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms, 'Hey, boys, I'm crippled. Can you help me out?' His feet was lame." In fact, the matter, he was lame from birth, according to the scriptures. Well, we all walk lamely because we're sinners. You know, it tells us in Romans, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Friends, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So many times I talk to people like my wife. She did, her the only sin that she thought was cussing and smoking. That was the only sin. Well, she was sure. You know why? Because she did not consider herself a sinner. And being she didn't do those two things, she wasn't a sinner. But the Bible don't read that way, does it? It said, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, this man had been living on the world's handouts. And all sinners seek something to satisfy their emptiness. You know that, true. So did Nicodemus, who was a very well-respected man. He was head of the Sanhedrin, all that. Now, the handouts of the world leaves us beggars still. Now, the lame man needed something the world couldn't give. Well, in verse 4 and 8, it says, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look at us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand of fellowship, and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Friends, listen. You and I have watched these poor beggars along the road here in Denver and other parts of the country. They'll have a little sign out. They'll always say, God bless, though. Don't you think they won't? And many of them are really, really hurting people. Many of them are con men. But some of those people are really hurting. Well, they don't need money. They need the message that God loves them, that Christ went to the cross of Calvary and died for them. That's what they need to hear. They sure do. Well, Peter saw the beggar's real need and met it. Now, again, the beggar expected a gift of money. But Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Now, listen to me. You go to these Pentecostal healing meetings with Benny Hinn and all that bunch. You better have silver and gold with you. They won't talk to you. They won't put you in the healing line. And then after they supposed to heal you, then they'll parade up and down and they'll preen their feathers as if they'd done something great. And then they'll throw the crutches out and they'll get the wheelchair and they'll throw it out. And then they say they're slain in the spirit. Show me that in the Bible. Show that to me, the word in the Bible. Slain in the spirit isn't there. And so it's a money-making deal, friends. Now, some of these preachers are preaching prosperity only. They've given up on salvation, but they're preaching salvation. They're preaching prosperity religion. Oh, they can break the bonds bonds of poverty on you. Sure they can, but it takes $1,000 seed to get it started. Now, did Peter and them have any money? No, we don't have any money. But they knew what God could do. They knew that if he would do exactly like Peter said, silver and gold, I don't have any, but such as I have, I give unto thee. The miracle in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Peter took him by the hand, I always say that's the right hand of fellowship, and lifted him up. With the gospel message, we can lift up others with sin and shame. Now, sure enough, the man now healed began to leap and praise God. Friends, I didn't leap and praise God when I got saved, but I did know something. I knew I had been delivered, and God's Holy Spirit gave me the assurance that my name was written in the Lamb Book of Life. Do you have that? Have you had a burning bush experience? You see, everybody has a different born-again experience. None of us has the same. Some people cry. Some people shout. Well, there's other things that happen, but you can't go on what happened. If Jim was a shouting man, jumped up and shouted, you say, well, I didn't shout. Well, that doesn't mean you're not saved. The minute that you and I realize that we are hell-bound, hell-deserving sinners, and that we're willing to turn her back or repent, that means do an about-face, turn her back on the old way of life and invite Christ into heart, immediately a transaction takes place. He takes the heart of stone out, gives you a heart of flesh, and gives you eternal life. Then in the 14th chapter of John, he promises you and I a mansion. In my Father's house are many mansions. I don't know what that is, brother. I don't know what it is, sister. But I'll tell you one thing. It's something better than we've ever had on this earth. Sure enough is, you know, there's not going to be no darkness in heaven. There's not going to be any more tears in heaven. No more disappointments. No more heartaches. No more cancer. No more oxygen. No more heart attacks and all these things. God said, you know what I'll do for you? I'll wipe away your tears and I'll be your God. Friend, is that, would you like to have that tonight? You say, Cecil, I join our church. Oh, dear friend, please, please listen to me. Joining a church does not assure you into heaven, of a home in heaven. You say, well, Cecil, I read my Bible and I pray and I give to the poor and the needy and all these things, but that don't get you into heaven. What does? Jesus said it very plain and simple to Nicodemus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you repent, except a man be born again, he cannot, he will not see the kingdom of heaven. So, you remember the thief on the cross. Two thieves on the cross. Now, one said, if you are the God, if you say you are, you come down off that cross and you save others. But the other fellow said, hey, friend, we're on these crosses because we deserve. We're thieves. This man has done no harm. And then he turned to Jesus and said, from this day forth, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And that's a promise. Now, did he join a church? Didn't get a chance to. He was on the cross. Did he get off the cross and get baptized? No, he didn't do that. So that knocks baptism as salvation out. Now there's a Church of Christ, and there's a Christian church, and then there's a Methodist church, and them, and the Catholic church really, 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 really believe in baptism to wash away their sins. But, beloved, there's only one thing to wash away your sins, and that is the blood of Jesus. That's the only thing. All the water in the whole world can't wash away one sin, but the blood of the Lamb will, sure enough. Well, now, note the reaction of others to the miracle, verse 8 and 7. 8 and 11. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto them. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called the Solomon's, greatly wondering. And listen what happened. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness, we had made this man to walk? You remember one time when the disciples were bragging the fact that they could cast out demons? Jesus rebuked them. He said, just thank God that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? You say, Cecil, I don't know. Well, here's a verse of Scripture I'd like to give to you that might help you. 1 John 5:13, it says, this is written that you may know, I mean, you know what know means, that you have passed from death unto life. That's what it says. Now, I say to you, well, are you born again? You say, well, Cecil, I don't know. What did it say? This is written that you may know. K-N-O-W. Well, I don't know what you can't understand about that. Why does he want you to know? Because how are you going to listen? I know people run around there. Well, I think I'm saved. I hope I'm saved. I want to be saved. That's not going to get it, dear ones. You must know. And the only way you can know if you've been born again, like Jesus said, and have Christ in your heart, then you'll know. And then he'll give you the blessed assurance that you're his. I went home that morning. Here I was, been drunk for days and days, and I'm so sorry I had to report this. But I was. And my wife said, I'm leaving. I'm taking the children. I didn't know what to do. I knew I'd crossed the line. I went too far. Well, God looked down there, and this song that's coming out this next week, God had a plan. God had a plan for Cecil Moe's life. What a miserable little thing I was. What a terrible person I was. A no good alcoholic. But Jesus knew perfectly well that if I would come to him as a little child, cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, that he'd do the same thing he did to the thief on the cross. He'd save me and deliver me. I went home free. I knew I was free. I knew I wouldn't drink anymore with God's help. Well, now the people were amazed at what this man was doing. The miracle created an opportunity to preach the gospel. Listen, friends, we ought to seize opportunities to tell others of Christ. Salvation is the greatest miracle of all. Have you ever heard these preachers say, are you seeking a miracle? Well, are you seeking a miracle, dear brother? Well, I'm going to tell you what. If you're born again, you are a miracle. Oh, yes, you are. Oh, my. Oh, my, yes. Friends, let me ask you. You say, well, Cecil, doggone it, I don't know here. I'm just troubled. I don't know what's going on. I'm not happy. I don't have no peace in my heart. I go to church, but I come away just as empty as when I go in. Well, you need Jesus. He'll fill up that void that's in your heart. He's like a big picture puzzle. You can have the most beautiful puzzle in the world, put it together, and one lousy little piece in the middle is missing. It mars the whole thing. Well, Jesus is that piece to the puzzle in our life. When we have him, we've got it all. I'm urging you tonight, if you got a little old tugging at your heart, you feel, oh, Cecil, I'd just like to cry. I'd just like to ask God to be my Savior. Well, let me help you do that. Can I do that tonight? Now, I don't want you to pray in this prayer if you don't mean it, because that's a joke, and you'll get in trouble with God, I'll guarantee you. But if you're truly sorry for your sins, and you'd like a new life in Jesus, I want you to bow your head and pray the most powerful prayer known unto man. And here's how it goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Savior. I don't understand everything, Lord, but here's my life. I'm tired of this wayward life. Tired of this sinful life. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, friend, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. No, I won't use your name on the air, and I won't embarrass you. And friends, I sure won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't do that. Don't care where you go to church. But, oh, beloved, I'm concerned where you spend eternity. If you feel I can help you, won't you give me a ring? 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.
Touched me. Oh, he touched me.
Friends, for the past half hour, your host, Ben Evangelist Cecil Moe. I want to thank you, dear ones, for listening tonight. I pray we said something that would encourage you. Friends, I don't want you to be mad at me when I say things from the Bible. But I don't do it because I'm mad. I'm doing it because I love you. That's why Jesus went to the cross. Because he loved us. He wanted to give us eternal life. That's what he did it for. Well, I want you to give me a call if you prayed to receive Christ tonight. Pray for me and my wife and our health as we go to prisons and we go to these missions and places. Pray that God will give us souls for our hire. So this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking out for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.